The cottage sat where the Pilgrim's Road began its slow descent into the Northern Hollow, a low stone hut swallowed by bramble and thyme. Ilse pushed the door open, and the smell hit her first dried herbs hanging from the rafters, the sour tang of old paper, and beneath it all, the damp earth breath of a building that had not known a fire in months. Dust lay thick on every surface, soft as ground bone where her fingers dragged through it. She set her basket on the table and surveyed the room. A cot against the far wall, its mattress flattened to a hard ridge. A hook beside the door where a cloak might have hung, now bare except for a rusted nail. Shelves lined one wall, mostly empty, their remaining contents reduced to shards of pottery and glass bottles with corks long since crumbled to powder. The place smelled of abandonment, though she knew her uncle had not left it willingly. He had simply run out of time. Ilse moved to the shelves. The bottles contained nothing but air. A tin box held moth-eaten cloth scraps. A wooden bowl, cracked down the center, still carried the ghost of whatever paste had once filled it. She reached the bottom shelf and found it half hidden behind a fallen planka leather-bound book, its cover warped from moisture, its spine cracked but holding. She pulled it free. The cover bore no title, only the faint impression of a thumbprint near the lower corner, as though someone had rested their hand there while reading and left it behind. Ilse wiped the dust from the surface with her sleeve and opened it. The first page held a date, written in a tight, precise hand. Michaelmas, 7th year of the quiet. Below it, a single line of entries, each one separated by a thin ruled space. Michaelmas, 1 traveler, 2 coins, salt and bread given, no rest offered. Ilse frowned, she turned the page. The handwriting remained steady, the ink dark and confident. More entries followed, each one a record of passage. Martinmas, no traveler, fire lit, road clear. Harrow's End, 1 traveler. A woman, veiled, she asked the way to the high pass. I told her there was no path that would serve her. She paid 3 coins, I gave her no bread. Ilse paused, her uncle had turned her away. She read the next entry. Samhain, 2 travelers, boys, no older than 16. They carried no packs. I sent them back. The road does not owe them shelter. Lammas, 1 merchant, paid for shelter. Did not return by dawn, gold taken. The entries continued. Month after month, year after year. Some months held nothing but the notation of weather or the simple statement that the road was clear. Others recorded travelers with sparse but telling detail. A merchant from the southern provinces, his cart broken. A widow carrying a child wrapped in burlap. A man in a soldier's coat, his face scarred, who asked only for water and left without speaking again. Ilse turned another page, and another. The handwriting changed slightly shakier, the letters larger as though the writer's hand had begun to fail him. The ink grew lighter, too, the strokes thinner, as though the well had run low or the pen had been squeezed with weakening fingers. Easter, 10th year, no traveler, the silence is long, I am old. Pentecost, no traveler, the stones hum at night, I cannot sleep. Whit Sunday, no traveler, I hear things in the hollow, not wind, not animals, things. Ilse felt a cold thread pull at the base of her neck. She turned the page and found the entries had slowed further, the gaps between them wider, the handwriting deteriorating into something almost illegible. The ink was barely a whisper now, pale brown where it had once been black. Trinity Sunday, no traveler. The shadow comes down the road when the sun goes behind the cloud. I see it moving. It has no shape. It has no sound. It is coming. Ilse closed her eyes. She opened them again. The last entry was dated in a hand so faint she had to hold the book at arm's length to read it. All Saints' Day, no traveler, I am the last, the road is mine to keep. Let no one come after me. Beneath that line, the page was blank. Ilse sat very still. The cottage was quiet except for the settling of the stone walls and the occasional tick of cooling timber. She traced the edge of the last legible entry with her fingertip. The ink had faded almost completely here, the letters dissolving into the grain of the paper like footprints washed by rain. She turned back to the earlier pages, scanning faster now, looking for something she could not name. And then she found it near the middle of the book, where the ink was still dark and the handwriting firm. Lady Day, 9th year, 3 travelers, a family, father, mother, girl of perhaps 8 winters. The girl was sick. She coughed blood on my floor. I gave them bread and salt water. I told them to turn back. The father struck me. He struck me twice. I did not move. I did not speak. I gave them no more. They went north. They did not return. Ilse's breath caught. She read the line again, and again. Beneath it, the next entry confirmed what she already suspected. May day, no traveler, I hear singing in the hollow. It is not human singing. It is beautiful. It makes me want to go. She flipped forward, searching for more. Another entry, dated weeks later. Ascension day, no traveler. The girl's face appears in the window at night. She is 8 winters. She is coughing. She is asking for help. I look away. Ilse shut the book. Her hands were trembling. She pressed them flat against the table and forced herself to breathe. The cottage seemed smaller now, the walls closer, the dust thicker in the air. She could smell the dried herbs more sharply, sage and yarrow and something else, something bitter she did not recognize. On the hook by the door, the rusted nail caught the dim light. Ilse looked at it and thought of the way her uncle had stood there, day after day, watching the road. She thought of the father who had struck him. She thought of the girl with the coughing blood. She opened the book one more time and found the very first entry, the one dated Michaelmas of the 7th year. She read it slowly, letting each word settle into place. 1 traveler, 2 coins, salt and bread given, no rest offered. Her uncle had not just maintained the road. He had guarded it. He had turned people away. He had let them die. Ilse closed the ledger and set it on the table. She stood and walked to the door. Outside, the pilgrim's road stretched northward, cracked and overgrown, disappearing into the hollow where the stones hummed with cold air. She placed her palm against the nearest waystone. It was cold, solid, patient. She let her hand drop and went back inside to gather her uncle's books. The light failed slowly, as it always did in the hollow, bleeding from gold to gray to something that made the stones look like bones. Ilse was mending a tear in her woolen coat by the window when she heard the footsteps. Not the quick, careless tread of a farmer crossing his own field, but the measured, deliberate pace of someone who knew exactly where he was going and had walked it before. She set the needle down, listened. The footsteps came closer, steady, unhurried, along the pilgrim's road. 7 years since anyone had walked it, 7 years since the stones stopped humming at night. She opened the door before he reached the yard. He stood at the edge of the light cast by her doorway, tall and lean, his cloak dark with dust and something darker dried blood along the jawline, split lip, a bruise already yellowing at his temple. His staff was old oak, scarred at the bottom from years of striking stone. He wore no badge, no crest, no sign of any lord's service, just a traveler's rough-spun tunic and the quiet exhaustion of someone who had been walking for a very long time. "Good evening," he said. His voice was low, even, without the tremor she expected from someone who had clearly been hurt. "I seek passage north." Ilse studied him. Her eyes moved over his hands, calloused, clean nails, no ring and the straightness of his stance, weight resting on his staff, not leaning, not faltering. He was not drunk. He was not desperate in the way that made men lie. He was simply tired and certain. "There is no passage north," she said. "The road is closed." Ilse felt the hair on her arms rise. She had heard the stories passed down from villagers to her uncle, or perhaps the other way around. The thing that walked the pilgrim's road when no one else did. The silence that followed travelers who asked for passage. A cold wind moved through the yard, carrying the smell of damp earth and the faint metallic tang that always rose from the waystones at dusk. Ilse glanced at the nearest stone beyond the fence line. It stood dark and silent against the fading sky, cold as it always was now. Patient as stone has no reason to be for anyone's benefit. "You've walked far," she said. 3 days from the southern toll, 2 days from the last village that still lights a beacon. He shifted his weight, winced almost imperceptibly. The road has not known a traveler in 7 years.
"No."
"But the stones still stand." Ilse said nothing. She had touched them herself that morning, pressing her palm to the cold granite and feeling nothing but the weight of what her uncle had left behind. Dead stone, worthless land, that was what the deed called it. Jaren looked past her toward the cottage, toward the darkened fields. "I need shelter for one night, then I continue." "Why?" The word came out sharper than she intended. She softened it. "Why come here? There is nothing north of this road but hollows and silence. No villages, no inns, no one to greet you." His dark eyes met hers without flinching. There is something else. What sort of something? He looked north, into the gathering dark, and for the first time she saw the shape of his face more clearly, the sharp line of his nose, the hollows beneath his cheekbones, the faint scar that ran from ear to jaw. He looked like a man who had seen things he could not name and would not forget. A silence, he said, not the absence of sound, a presence. It moves along the road the way fog moves along a valley. Slow, certain, it has been following me since I crossed the old bridge at Merrow's Ford. It follows no one, she said. The road is dead, nothing walks it. Jaren's mouth quirked, not quite a smile. Then you have not been listening closely. She wanted to slam the door. She wanted to tell him to turn back, to go south, to find an inn and a bed and forget the pilgrim's road entirely. But something in his posture, the straight spine, the unwavering gaze, the way he held his staff like a man who trusted it to hold him, told her he would not turn back. Not tonight. Not ever. Come in, she said. The cottage interior smelled of dried herbs and old paper, the same sour tang that clung to her uncle's books. Jaren stepped inside without removing his cloak, his boots leaving faint prints on the packed earth floor. He set his staff against the wall and stood in the center of the room, his eyes moving slowly over the shelves, the table, the cold hearth. Your uncle kept this place, he said, not a question. He left it, Ilse corrected. She poured water from the bucket into a tin cup and handed it to him. He took it with both hands, nodded his thanks, and drank deeply. When he lowered the cup, he said, Eamon was a careful man. He turned away many who asked for passage. Not all deserved it. Ilse froze. How do you know my uncle? I knew the road. Jaren set the cup on the table. Before it went silent, before the last travelers stopped coming. He paused, considering his words carefully. I was one of them. 8 years ago, I walked from the southern coast, carrying letters for the Baron's steward. I reached the first waystone and turned back. Not always. Jaren's voice dropped lower. He reached into his tunic and drew out a small shard of granite, warm despite the chill in the room. He set it on the table between them. I carried this from the first waystone since Merrow's Ford, still warm, though I've held it 3 days and nights. The stones only wake when something is close. Because I heard the singing. Ilse's breath caught. She had heard it too, the humming at night, the low vibration that rose from the stones when the wind died. But she had thought it was the wind. Had thought it was the stones settling, or the earth breathing, or nothing at all. The stones sing, she asked. Not always, Jaren's voice dropped lower. Only when something approaches, only when the road remembers what it is supposed to guard. Outside, the wind picked up, rattling the shutters. Ilse went to the window and looked out at the pilgrim's road, cracked and overgrown, disappearing into the hollow where the stones waited in the dark. She thought of the ledger on her table, the faded ink, the names of travelers who had never returned. She thought of the way the stones had felt beneath her palm, cold, solid, patient. Patient for what? She turned back to Jaren. You want passage north. Why? There is nothing there. There is the end of the road. He met her gaze steadily, and whatever waits at the end. Ilse felt a chill that had nothing to do with the wind. You think something is coming. I know something is coming. He picked up his staff again, testing its weight. And I believe it is the road's duty to meet it. She stared at him. The words sounded absurd, almost ridiculous spoken aloud. Duty, the pilgrim's road, a standing stone path that no one used, guarded by a dead man's ledger and a woman who barely understood what she had inherited. And yet, how many years have you been walking? She asked. Since the last beacon went out, he looked at the cold hearth. I have been walking for 7 years. Ilse said nothing. The silence stretched between them, heavy and cold as the stones outside. She thought of her uncle, turning away travelers, sending boys back to the south, refusing a veiled woman who paid 3 coins. She had thought him stubborn, petty, a man who hid in a cottage and counted copper while the world forgot his road. But now she wondered. Were you turning them away on purpose? She asked softly. Jaren's expression did not change. I was keeping them from dying. The words settled over the cottage like dust. Ilse felt the weight of them in her chest, heavy and cold, and for the first time since she had inherited the deed, she understood that the road was not worthless land. It was a responsibility, a burden, a promise her uncle had kept when no one else remembered it existed. She went to the corner and pulled a thin blanket from the shelf, tossing it onto the pallet by the hearth. "Sleep there. I will make porridge in the morning. Then you leave." Jaren nodded, "Thank you." She did not answer. She was already thinking about the stones, about the singing, about the silence that followed travelers north, about the thing that waited at the end of the road, and about the terrible, impossible certainty that her uncle had known exactly what was coming and had stayed to meet it alone. Ilse blew out the candle. The cottage filled with darkness. Outside, the wind carried the faintest vibration from the hollow, a sound so low it might have been nothing at all. She stood by the window a long time, listening.